Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Straight to Hell: True Tales of Deviance, Debauchery, and Billion Dollar Deals is a memoir and insider expose by former investment banker John Lefevre. Drawing on his career in New York, London, and Hong Kong, the book presents a sharply satirical and often outrageous view of global finance. It's especially the culture surrounding bond syndication, capital markets, and elite banking circles. Its purpose is less to teach finance than to reveal the social rules, excesses, and moral compromises that shape high-stakes deal-making. The book is closely tied to Lefevre's @GSelevator persona and uses anecdotal, highly stylized episodes to show how power, money, status, and cynicism interact inside the industry. Because it is part memoir and part cultural critique, the work is most useful as a portrait of banking culture rather than a technical account of financial practice. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how the book frames global investment banking as a culture of excess. A central idea in the book is that investment banking is not simply a profession, but a social system organized around competition, privilege, and overindulgence. Lefevre describes a world where large deals are pursued alongside heavy drinking, sexual misconduct, status signaling, and constant attempts to outperform peers. This matters because the book argues that these behaviors are not isolated lapses, but part of the environment that helps define elite finance. The tone is deliberately blunt and unsparing, which makes the culture feel less like an exception and more like a norm sustained by money and institutional power. Readers do not get a balanced industry history or an operational manual. Instead, they see how incentives and group identity can distort judgment. That makes the book useful for understanding why finance is often criticized not only for its economics, but for the behavior it rewards and normalizes. Secondly, the mechanics of bond syndication and the private side of the Chinese wall. The book is unusual among finance memoirs because it offers a glimpse into bond syndication and the organizational split between investment banking and sales and trading. Lefevre's position above the Chinese wall gives him a view of how deals are structured on the private side before they are distributed to the market. This is one of the few places where the book moves beyond pure scandal and into institutional process. Even so, the explanation is filtered through personal experience rather than systematic instruction. The value of this material is that it shows how high-level finance depends on coordination, access, and controlled information flow, not just on abstract market theory. Readers can infer that deal-making in major banks is both technical and relational success depends on managing clients, timing, internal politics, and reputation. The book therefore provides a concrete, if informal, picture of how billion-dollar transactions move through an elite financial organization. Thirdly, the use of anecdote to expose status games, hazing, and male-dominated hierarchy. Lefevre structures the book through vivid anecdotes that highlight how hierarchy works inside finance. Junior staff are often humiliated, social rituals are used to enforce conformity, and women are frequently treated as accessories rather than colleagues. These scenes matter because they reveal how workplace culture can become a mechanism of control. The book suggests that joking, hazing, and public one-upmanship are not just personal quirks but tools for reinforcing rank and belonging. That helps explain why the tone feels so aggressive and why the narrative spends so much time on behavior outside formal business tasks. The result is a portrait of an environment where identity is shaped by endurance, performance, and the ability to tolerate or replicate bad conduct. Even readers skeptical of every incident can still see how the book captures a recognizable pattern in elite. Male-dominated institutions' informal power often matters as much as official responsibility. Fourthly, why the book is controversial memoir, satire, and disputed truth claims. One of the book's defining features is the uncertainty surrounding its factual reliability. Lefevre's stories were widely discussed and sometimes challenged, and critics have questioned how much of the book should be read as literal memoir versus embellished entertainment. This controversy is important because it affects how the reader interprets the entire work. If the book is treated as strict reportage, some episodes become difficult to verify. If it is treated as a satirical insider narrative, its exaggeration becomes part of its method. Either way, the controversy reinforces the book's central concern with deception, image management, and performance in finance. That is one reason the work attracted attention beyond the usual memoir audience. The dispute over truth does not eliminate the book's value, but it does require readers to approach it as a subjective account shaped by irony, provocation, and self-mythologizing. In that sense, the controversy is not separate from the content. It is part of the book's identity. Lastly, what the memoir reveals about power, morality, and the cost of elite ambition. Beyond the shocking anecdotes, the book is ultimately about the moral atmosphere created by extreme ambition. Lefevre presents finance as a world where money, access, and institutional prestige can weaken ordinary ethical restraints. The characters and situations in the book repeatedly show how people justify behavior that would be unacceptable in most other settings. This makes the book useful as a cautionary study of what happens when career advancement becomes detached from public accountability. It also suggests that the social insulation of elite finance allows damaging habits to persist because the participants are protected by wealth, influence, and professional networks. Readers looking for practical financial advice will not find much here, but those interested in organizational culture, ethics, or the social psychology of elite groups will find significant material. The book stands out because it does not sanitize the industry. Instead, it insists that the darker side of ambition is inseparable from the glamour of the world it depicts. In conclusion, Straight to Hell will appeal most to readers interested in Wall Street memoirs, banking culture, and insider accounts of elite professional environments. It is not a technical finance book and does not aim to explain markets in a systematic way. Its value lies in its perspective. It depicts the social world of international banking with a mix of satire, swagger, and abrasive honesty, making the book memorable even when individual stories invite skepticism. Readers who want a serious look at how incentives, hierarchy, and image-shaped behavior in high finance will find it more revealing as cultural evidence than as business instruction. Compared with more conventional finance books, it stands out because it focuses on conduct rather than strategy, on atmosphere rather than theory, and on the corrosive effects of status competition rather than on economic analysis. For that reason, it is useful both as entertainment and as a lens on the reputation problem that has long surrounded global banking. It is best read critically, but it remains one of the more distinctive memoirs about modern finance. If you would like to support John Lefevre, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.